CBS News Brief. Former President Donald Trump says he will testify in his hush money trial, which starts Monday.
All I can do is tell the truth.
Trump also spoke about his stance on abortion after laying out his positions earlier this week.
What we did was give it back to the states, and now the states are working their way through it. And you're having some very, very beautiful harmony, to be honest with you.
President Biden addressed the possibility of an Iranian attack on Israel. He says his message to Iran about launching an assault is don't.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel. And Iran will not succeed.
One person was killed and 13 were hurt when a man intentionally crashed a truck into a Texas public safety office. Sergeant Justin Ruiz.
8 were treated and released on the scene of the incident. Unfortunately, one person has succumbed to their injuries and died at the hospital.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Join us live on Monday from 3 to 4 for Playmakers, where we'll be joined by Tyler Miller of the Rafters to preview the upcoming season, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Next year's race for Wisconsin Supreme Court appears to be more wide open now that Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is retiring. Conservative Judge Brad Schimel is the only candidate so far, but liberals Susan Crawford and Chris Taylor are now said to be thinking about it. The winner of next year's race will likely decide the court's ideological majority. Clean water advocates say they're happy with the EPA's new legally enforceable benchmark for PFAS in drinking water. Lynn Thorpe of Clean Water Action says it's not enough to clean up PFAS already in the water.
We need to take equally aggressive action to keep the chemicals from getting into the water and the environment in the first place.
Wisconsin adopted its own PFAS standards for drinking water last year, but the new federal standard is stricter. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, April 15th. In Wood County, the Waterworks and Lighting Commission will hold a special commission meeting at 9 a.m. in their conference room. The Citizens Water Group will meet at 2 in the Riverblock Auditorium. The WRPS School Board will meet for their regular board meeting at 6. The Central Wisconsin State Fair Board of Directors will meet at 6:30 at the fair office in Marshfield. The Village of Port Edwards will hold their regular meeting of the Police and Fire Commission at 5 at the Marshall Buehler Center. In Portage County, the Judicial General Government Committee will meet at 3:30 at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 1. The Board of Adjustment will meet at 4 in Conference Room 5, and the Health and Human Services Board at 4:30 in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Stevens Point Common Council meeting will begin at 7 in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. In Adams County, the Library Board will meet at 2 at the Adams County Library. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Easy Cater, 100,000 restaurants, one platform. Need food for a meeting or a company event? Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work, work. With easy online ordering and reordering. Save your favorite orders, make edits as needed, and click. We even help you with expenses by keeping your receipts all in one place, which means all you need to do is sit back and enjoy the food. From ordering to reporting, Easy Cater has everything to make food for work, work. Order 24/7 at easycater.com.
The Brewers head to Baltimore. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a weekend series against the Orioles at Camden Yards. Yesterday's game with the Reds got rained out in Cincinnati. Rescheduled as a doubleheader in August. NBA, the Bucks in Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder tonight. The Bucks coming off wins over the Celtics and Orlando Magic. NFL, the Packers on the tailgate tour headed to Brazil this fall to take on the Eagles for the opener. I asked Kenny Clark.
Do you know anybody that's been to Brazil?
I went there a couple years ago. Actually.
You did?
I was in Brazil. I was in Rio. Oh. And I had an amazing time, man. There's so many Packer fans out there, so many football fans out there. I went during the Super Bowl and watched the Super Bowl at a bar, and the energy there was amazing. I can only imagine, you know, what the experience we're going to have when we out there actually playing a football game in Brazil. The fans are going to be amazing.
So LaFleur's coming to you for tips on how to get around Brazil.
Yeah. Glad to come to me for the tips.
That's Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, to a low in the low 30s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warmer for tomorrow, high into the low 70s. And more sunshine for Sunday, high mid-70s. On Monday, sun continues and breezy again, high low 70s. Currently 57 degrees.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll talk to the authors of the book Secret Wisconsin, a guide to the weird, wonderful, and obscure.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, all right. It's Friday at the end of an amazing week. I don't have my co-host with me tonight. Dr. Tim Slecker is not on the scene, but I'm here. Dr. Johnny with you tonight. And I got Aaron on the boards. It's going to be a banger of a Friday. We're going to wrap up the week. We're going to talk shop, and we're going to take calls. So if you're out there and you want to call, anything you want to chop it up with, education talk, fully leaded education talk. We are educated educator talking education tonight. The number 855-752-4842. Go ahead and give us a call if you want to join the conversation. Well, usually on Fridays, we recap the week, Tim and I. So it's just going to be a Johnny recap with any callers that call in. Or you know what? You're just going to get a full dose of me otherwise. And Aaron, thanks for being on the boards for us tonight. All right, so this week was it a special week, especially coming off of last week. I mean, last week is still resonating with me. I know usually our producer, Anya, on most nights, her and I are both still starstruck from the Martin Atkins joining us last week from The Post. Yeah.
I loved that show. That was awesome. That was so cool to hear from him about all this.
Yeah, I love it. Aaron, thanks for hopping on because, yeah, it was rocking, man. I mean, that's just a legend. He's a humble man. He's wise. He's got so much to offer, especially he works with people, music of all genres, right, and of all kinds of sound engineering and many things related. But he came on the show because he has a lot to offer in terms of what artists bring to education and that process and that creativity. So amazing show. If you get a chance, you can always go back and download it. It's from last week, Thursday. But this week, so that really set up an amazing conversations all week this week. On Monday, we had a really great guest, Tabitha D'Angelo, or Del Angelo, I should say. I always want to say D, but it's Del Angelo, the interim dean of the College of Education at College of New Jersey. And she came on and she talked and reminded us about the importance of how we can emphasize our civic duty by running for school board, by being participatory in that process, and just all around great conversation around schools and the role we can play as teacher educators, but also as just citizens in our community to being present at the importance of supporting public schools. So great conversation on Monday with Dr. Tabitha Del Angelo. And then Tuesday, wow, man, my brain was just blown because we talk often and it's a super important issue everywhere in the country, but especially in Wisconsin, you know, the battle to understand how charter schools are funded and the political funding to push for vouchers and for really a lack of accountability for charter schools. And really this is more of just the dismantling of public education in favor of marketized, you know, options in terms more charter schools. And we had some guests from Colorado, Mike DeGere and Jane Shirley came on the show and kind of blew my mind talking about this concept, dark money, and sort of understanding the funding behind really pushing for there to be no accountability for charter schools. In a sense, this was really important because so often where we think of things as like, you're either for charters or you're against charters. Well, they kind of came on the show and talked about how rather than be just opposed to charters, what they would really like to see in Colorado and in other places too, is at the very least accountability for charter schools. And so, the Democrat governor in Colorado. So we often think of this as like Republicans are pro, you know, privatization of schools and Democrats defend public education. Well, you know what? You know, there are Republicans and Democrats who aren't really doing a whole lot to defend public education and in fact can be bought out and into supporting, right, no accountability for charters and in fact greenlighting so many of these non-public options into public and into school systems where ultimately schools, families, and communities, you know, become the victims of marketized education where there's a pitch, hey, we got this great solution, you can choose to come here, but delivery is often fallen short. And in Colorado, there's a ballot, you know, out there, there's a legislative bill coming together to say, hey, we need more accountability for all schools, but especially for these charters that do exist, they should have to function within school district regulations and they should have to be accountable just like any other place where children are learning in our state. And so, you know, they came on, they talked about this concept that really blew my mind, dark money. And so, you know, I'm just trying to loop back around to it on Tuesday. Jane Shirley and Mike DeGeyer came on and talked about, so why, like, there are billions of dollars getting poured into supporting essentially vouchers or a lack of accountability for any option than other than public schools. So we hold public schools accountable at the state level, but right now there are groups and foundations and donors that are at like pouring big money into, you know, making sure there's no accountability and that there's really just a clear path for market options in the field of education. And that really is, it means charter schools, right? And so, but they talked about this concept, dark money. And it was new, it was a newer concept to me. And I thought it was kind of helpful because I always like to think, well, if you got a bill that's proposed and you've got people opposing it or, you know, advocating for it, let's follow the money. Let's kind of figure out who's funding what. Well, there's this concept concept called dark money. In politics in particular, dark money refers to spending to influence elections. This is money specifically used to influence elections, public policy, and political discourse. But here's the catch, where the source of the money is not disclosed, right? So it's really, truly a system of smoke and mirrors and sort of like a laundering, we might say, of money so that the money can't be followed. So it's funneled into influencing elections, public policy, and political discourse, but the money can't be traced back to where it's coming from. Well, you know, so they talk about this large amounts of dark money funding this, opposing this bill put forth to have accountability for all schools in the state of Colorado. This is kind of important because we got to be on watch for this. Like, we all, here we are, exercising our civic duty, we have to be defenders of democracy, right? I know, like, here we are, this is the education talk show, so we're talking about education, but really broadly, we're talking about defenders of democracy, not only in what's taught and learned in schools, but in the policies and the politics that make that teaching and learning possible. So supporting public schools, you know, for us defenders of democracy is a no-brainer. However, there are Democrat governors, there are Republican governors, because remember, education is a state right. So this is why I'm kind of looping us back around to governors. There's state legislation that is absolutely dismantling the bedrock of democracy in our states, and that's our public schools. So we're trying to say, where is the money coming from to support something that's against the best interests of democracy in our states, right? And so we're trying to trace back the money. And our guests on Tuesday talked about this concept of dark money. And they also talked about how, you know, it's worded in good intention. So we say things like, hey, you know, this particular donor or this particular foundation is giving money to help improve students' learning. And that's kind of vague. Really, we have to read between the lines and see they're actually funding school choice and charters as options. That's not, that might sound in a marketing campaign as a slam dunk for education, but it's absolutely not. Because what we know from researchers like guests we've had for the had on for the last month or so, researcher after researcher keeps coming on and saying, actually, this whole like green lighting charter thing has done nothing to make education better for students. It has not provided, by and large, more options or better opportunities for learning. And in fact, it's kind of gone down. We could spend less on higher yield solutions in our public schools and get more. And so there's this kind of system of smoke and mirrors and political talk that's really important to understand, but money talks. And so when we're able to walk back and look through, you know, where's the money coming from? Well, who's the influences? This concept of dark money involved in this, I think, was really illuminating and great conversation on Tuesday. We got a couple minutes before we go to break, so I'll bust to Wednesday and then bring it back around. But wow, Wednesday, you know what, folks? This week we had Educator Amplified, because every week we have Educators Amplified on Wednesday evening with us, and it was a great conversation. I'll admit, man, I got frustrated, and that happens sometimes on good radio or good conversation. It's like anytime you get together with your friends and you're sitting around a table and you're talking, or you're out on the porch, maybe having a pop or two, you're having a conversation and things, you know, we don't always all agree. Things get a little heated. Well, you know what? Educators Amplified and Busted Pencils, 99.9% of the time all agree. And we all agreed on Wednesday, but it got dicey because, you know, our guy, Tim, he's not here with us tonight. He's usually chopping it up with me. He likes to assign articles for us to read. And we read this article, and he's a great teacher because by design, he gave us this article to be a little bit frustrating for us. And it was talking about this curriculum materials that are really important for teachers to use, like tested and high quality curriculum materials as the solution. All right. To this idea of learning loss and low performing test scores, which Tim already knows, right? That not only do teacher Joanna and teacher Hallie and Johnny here, we are all about fed up with hearing about test scores and what students aren't doing. I mean, this is the language of putting the blame on teachers and students. And so he gave us this article about, high quality curriculum materials and this whole pitch coming forward. And, you know, and it was frustrating because we're like, really, still we're doing this? But the big important point that, you know, Tim was bringing to the show on Wednesday, and it really is important, as much as it frustrated me and, you know, teacher Hallie and teacher Joanna, you know, they navigated it well because they have to all the time as teachers. But the reality is high quality curriculum materials are being shoved in teachers' faces all the time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, give us a call. We'll bust some pencils and recap the week. We are born with a chance. Rise above, we're going to rise above. And I am going to have my chance. Rise above, we're going to rise above. We are God of your abuse. Try to stop us. It's no use. Rise above, rise above, rise above. We're going to rise above, we're going to rise above, we're going to rise above.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Big A, little A, bouncing B. The system I touch, your body won't get me. One, two, three, four. Start to control, are you gonna let it get you? Gonna be a prisoner of bad day sessions. So you wanna be a...
Oh, we're back. Great tunes. Aaron on the board, throwing down some great sounds to help us transition on this Friday. Hey, it's been a banger of a week. Folks, hope listeners out there, you've had a great week and you're headed into a beautiful weekend. This is Busted Pencils, fully led education talk. Educated here today, talking education. You're welcome to give us a call. Give me a call, 855-752-4842, or you can drop a comment in the feed. There's a number of ways you can get at us. If you download the Civic Media app, you can always listen to all the great programming on Civic Media live. That way, of course, I'm talking about this week's episodes. You can grab them off the Civic Media website as well or wherever you get your podcasts. But we had a lot of great content this week, amazing discussions. Right before we went to break, I was talking about how great it was, for Tim to get us all riled up on Wednesday with Educators Amplified, who always talk about the importance of being, regulated as an educator, but also as a human being committed to their wellness. It's good to stay regulated. I got all dysregulated on Wednesday. Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, they navigate that with such prowess. They were able to like move through it and talk shop about, curriculum materials that are tested and, important curriculum materials for teachers. And the really thing is, I got all riled up because I'm just overhearing it. Stop. What I read is that there's something to sell teachers. There's something that's going to fix a problem in schools. And here's what we know, and we keep having researcher after researcher come on the show and share this, is things. There are things that need improvement in schools. There are a lot of things that we need to address. This idea that children have fallen far behind and that they're not learning in classrooms is absolutely cooked up. It's manufactured by all of these high stakes tests and these, different materials that keep pushing the bar higher and higher up at what grade level young people are learning. For example, if you're thinking about, say, second grade, the expectation is really like third, fourth grade material, or it's obscured into this fact that you may be right on track for what we'd understand you to be at or want you to be at as educators in second grade. But the way that we're measuring this, we're calling students who fall under a certain test score as not proficient. But really, they're just fine for where they're at grade level. And so there's a lot of misleading information out there that has led to this conversation that, hey, everyone's behind and we're doomed. And guess what? We've got this magnificent curriculum set of materials to put into the classroom, and fix the problem. The other part of what we talked about on Wednesday was this is an age old trick is just to teacher proof the classroom. So these are materials, Tim has reading about this, promotion for these materials that are going to teacher proof the classroom. And what that means is, hey, it's going to standardize things to the point where, it doesn't matter whether, you might be worried that teachers are out there indoctrinating, which we know is a myth, but that's sort of the accusation. But teachers won't be able to teach what they know or need to teach at the moment. They'll have to stay on script and on pace, and these materials will help make sure they do that. Every good teacher out there kind of, is like, here we go again with this. That is just not good teaching. It's not good teaching and learning to just follow a script and be on this exact day, the exact thing on the same time, on the same day everywhere. It's just not how it works. You can't mechanize learning. And there are people out there who really push for that. that's a segue into what we did on Thursday, but I'm going to come back to all this because when I say you can't mechanize learning, well, you can mechanize a whole lot of things. And so we got back to talking about AI on Thursday, and we had, you know, guest Tom Maloney on, and he's got some really amazing work. He calls himself a critic of AI. And I think he uses that word in a really thoughtful way. He is like hyper aware and knowledgeable of the limitations and what AI, different AI softwares can do, especially related to how they impact our classroom. So we had a great discussion about this. And you all know, if you listen to Busted Pencils, you hear Tim and I go back and forth. We're duking it out over this one. Tim loves the AI. I'm an AI hater, right? And so we've taken sides. We're taking calls all the time. We're getting opinions on this. We're also getting researchers who come in and give us really good background information and research they're doing on AI, and specifically around AI in the classroom or AI in learning. And so we had a great conversation about that, because I'm a standby. You cannot mechanize teaching. Teaching is something that's highly relational. It's situational. It's contextual. And to my knowledge, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm not an expert on the technologies. I'm sort of a Luddite when it comes to this. But to my knowledge, there is yet the capacity. AI does not have the capacity to, in the moment, be responsive in situational, contextual ways with diverse learners and students. It's just not human. And so I'm not saying that a bad teacher is better than AI, but a good teacher will never be able to, AI will never be able to do what a good teacher does. And so that loops me back around. I mean, we had Martin Atkins on 2 weeks ago, and he said the same thing. He said, like he actually kind of sides with Tim a little bit more on these AIs. He told a story about, he remembers when the drum machine came on the scene, you know, and friends called him up and said, you know, up, oh, there you go, Martin, your job is gone. You're going to have to find something else to do. You're going to be replaced as a drummer by a machine. You know, and he thought, he listened to the drum machines, and even the most sophisticated drum machines, as they got better and better, he said, you know what, still, it just got rid of really crummy drummers. It made it so that, like, you kind of couldn't be a professional drummer and be mediocre. You had to be really good. And I kind of think the same thing, is getting pushed by AI and by a lot of the different technologies and a lot of these, even these highly successful curriculum materials that Tim had us reading about on Wednesday, all of these things that are just polluting the landscape of classrooms. One of the silver linings is they're making it so you really can't be a bad teacher and be a teacher. We need great teachers out there, and good teachers are going to keep good teaching, because it's just something that we'll always need, will always be around. And it's something we need to get better at providing to every kid who's in a school, anywhere they are. So it's really important, kind of loops back around to, like, why do we even talk about education as a, you know, bedrock of democracy, and then the importance for teachers to be able to do good teaching, because it's all relational, right? And so we're going to come back to that too when we come back after the break. We're going to talk about what does Johnny even mean? He's been talking and talking and talking about the themes of the week. He keeps coming back to this whole, you know, but it's all relational. So we're going to come back to that, and we're going to focus on, I'm going to break it down, teachers and the relationality of good teaching, right? So if you got me on the radio, you're listening, you're following along right now, hey, give us a call, 855-752-4842. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educator talking education. And when we get back, relationality and what it means to do good teaching. Refuse to play that game. You don't want to be a number. Fucking name your name. You don't want to be called out. Refuse to hear that question. Silence is a virtue. Use it for your own protection. I try to make you play that game. Refuse to show your face. If you don't want to be beaten down, refuse to join their race.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 340 people in northwest Wisconsin will lose their jobs when window factory Jeld-Wen closes in Hawkins later this year. The company plans to move its Wisconsin production to its factory in central Illinois. The move will reportedly save the company at least $7 million. Wisconsin teachers are leaving the profession faster than ever. A new Department of Public Instruction